95.3 The Score is your sports station. Log on and listen live at 95.3thescore.com.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City, online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Sports Talk on a Tuesday. It's championship week. It's a beautiful time of year. Thanks for tuning in. You could even see the sun is out. It's just, by the way, did you guys see the moon last night? Yowza yikes. Mother Nature don't play. welcome, anyway, to the big program. And may I express my extreme thanks for you to be a part of our weekday programs from 3 to 6 right here on 95.3 The Score. Bids, auto bids being handed out for the big dance, which starts Tuesday, by the way. I guess it's never too early to remind folks that, as has been our tradition since I climbed on board, my first NCAA tournament here as a member of Cumulus was 2009, where I remember doing the show from Sam's Place, and we'll be back there again for Monday and Wednesday, and you can come down and get your bracket. We'll have all the details. And the first time I signed on at 3 o'clock, and I said, can anybody beat North Carolina? I don't think so. And I was right. I haven't been right since. But it's just that team was such a prohibitive number one. And the chances of them losing, I just didn't think were very real. And that was one of those years, which I've gotten the winner of the tournament right over the years. But with the winner, I don't think I've ever have even had a second Final Four team right. I've had two Final Fours, but I've said it many times. I don't say it for effect. It's just me being me. The first bracket I ever filled out, my first full-time job, 1982, working for ADP. Back then, we were making $5.25 an hour. I think that was just a little above minimum wage, and I won $600. I picked Georgetown to go all the way to the final. We had gone and seen Georgetown at the Garden early that year, and somebody says, you're not going to believe the center on Georgetown. Just watch this guy. It was Patrick Ewing. And I was head over heels. And I had them beating North Carolina in the final. Nobody else even had them, I think, in the Final Four. I mean, it was put, when I say I won $600, it wasn't 20 guys putting in $50. It was like a few hundred people putting in like $2 because the place was enormous. And then in 2000, at a local, with one of my buddies, we picked Florida as a 5 seed to go to the national final. They almost got knocked out in the first round, by the way. Mike Miller hit a little leaner when Billy Donovan was still a new coach with the Gators and won a bunch there. There you go. I have filled out 39 years of brackets. I got two good ones. So does that mean somebody's due? All right, anyway, welcome to Sports Talk, the Tuesday edition here on 95.3 The Score. If you want in, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. For all of your diesel needs since 1974, online, OregonFuelInjection.com. And you could also hit us up via the text line, 321-0871. 254. You can try us on Twitter at 953 The Score. For the station, for the show, it is at SportsTalk 953. A little delay there, but we brought on Rivera for the save, and Nick is at Rick Nodgers. All right. To the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Let's bring in Gary. Gary, good afternoon. How you doing?
That's how it starts. It's a $600 winner, and ever after that, you're chasing that dream, the adrenaline rush. Welcome to gambling.
Yeah, by the way, something I'm vaguely familiar with.
Well, something that's going to impact that is immediately upon us, when the discussion about the canola virus or coronavirus.
The canola, I think you had a choice of Wesson oil, olive oil, and canola oil. But you went oil instead of beer, Gar.
Well, how about this? The virus that's out there, they're talking about not playing some of the games without an audience in front of them. And I'm thinking, what kind of argument could a tournament team have if they said we had to play in front of a empty arena, and so we didn't have the standard advantage that the other team did when they played in their game in front of their fans? And you've got to think, this puts the NCAA in a position where they have to decide, are they all going to play the same situation, either empty arena or fans there?
Yeah, but the one thing is, because of where we are now, the smaller tournaments will be over, and once the bigger ones start, it's all neutral sites, so does it really matter?
Well, again, some teams that are like the Zags are looking at playing here in the immediate West Coast.
Yeah, but they're not home games.
Out of a local.
But they're not home games.
As good as?
Well, it's an advantage, and that's the reason that you play your butts off to become a one or a two seed. But, you know, that's so secondary to, you know, people like being safe and staying alive.
Well, the other question that impacts here for Vegas is, what kind of spread is fans versus no fans going to have on the numbers?
I don't know. Once the game starts, does it really, really matter? I mean,
we don't know.
Well, and Vegas will incorporate that. And I don't know if they'll say, you know, we're installing USC as a 3-point favorite over UCLA, but if this place had 12,000 people because the Bruins travel better, we would have made it a 1-point game. So who the heck knows? I mean, first of all, it'll be weird because you'll hear every screen call, the sneakers squeaking, the coaches barking out plays, and, you know, every F-bomb just as well. So,
I'm left to hear some of the casual court conversation between the players and the refs.
No, I mean, the strategic part of it, of guys calling out plays and, like I said, you know, calling to switch or, you know, watch for the screen, that actually would be pretty entertaining and a little bit different. But yeah, for those of us who have been watching these games for a million years, especially when you get down to conference tournament semifinals, you know, a team in the finals and a major conference that knows losing your season's over when you get to go to the big dance, or a one or a two seed knows if they win, they might get to the big dance and be a one or a two seed. Yeah, obviously that impacts the passion and the volume level at the respective arenas.
My guess is if there's any way they can do it, they're going to play in front of the fans.
Oh, of course. We know. First, you know, they'll say like they're looking out for the best interests of the fans. Translation, could we still make a lot of money without fans? No. All right, it's okay. They can come.
They need him in the backdrop for TV.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just a ridiculous look. And, you know, the impact on foul shooting and all that stuff.
Yeah. One other quick note. I'm excited about tonight's 6 o'clock game with St. Mary's because Dick Vitale is going to be calling the game.
Oh, really?
Yes, he called the Zags game last night, and they're not going to send him out of town when they got the championship on the number two team in the country playing the next night.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised that the Dons pushed the Zags the way they did. I mean, you know, it got down to two, but the Shabazz missing that game-tying three, caught back iron, then Tilly put it away with the foul shots. I did not see that coming down to the final 30 seconds with the outcome still in doubt.
The West Coast Conference is getting better.
Or maybe this Zags team isn't as good as we thought.
We don't like negative thoughts like that.
Have we met?
Enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah. Have a good one. By the way, 23rd year in a row, Gonzaga's made the West Coast Conference final. So, like we said yesterday, I don't know if anybody's actually risen up to meet them just yet. But if you saw how St. Mary's won the game in a grinder, 51-50, that missed jumper by Childs, and we'll get to that in a bit. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Bill. Bill, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going great, Steve. How are you?
All right. What's up?
Well, hey, quick question, just because I'm my wife and I are getting on a plane at 0600 tomorrow to head to Vegas, and I actually had two all-session passes for the tournament, but my wife's not all that into basketball, so I ended up selling them, but I'll watch all the games in the casinos. Do you know, can I bet on those games when they're playing in Vegas?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a time...
I want to make a little money on the duckies.
Yeah, Bill, there was a time when in Vegas, Reno or Vegas or Laughlin or wherever, you couldn't bet on Nevada, Reno, or UNLV, but that's gone. If there's action, they're taking it.
Cool. All right, well, I'm gonna throw a little behind the ducks.
All right,
since,
good luck.
My golden bears aren't worth putting a nickel on, so... Anyway.
Yeah, I wish you safe travels and healthy travels as well. All right, take it easy. Somebody in talking about the canola virus said, what about the Nutella virus?
Cannoli virus. I mean, that sounds like you probably get an upset tummy, but it might
somebody
be worth
wasn't it.
It
the canola virus that killed Florence Henderson? Oh my God, that is so deep. Florence Henderson, the mom, Carol Brady on the Brady Bunch. Used to do a commercial for Wesson cooking oil. The chicken has a certain Wessonality. So whoever you are, that might be one of the best gets in the history of this show on the text line. Because how many people, if I said Florence Henderson Wesson Oil, would have gotten that one? First of all, you weren't even, it's not even that you weren't born. You weren't, I mean, I'm in my teens, 20s. It's 1,214,908 years ago.
Wow.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Yeah, I wanted to point out that last night we were talking about, you know, how stoked we would be to watch BYU Gonzaga round three on ESPN tonight at 6 for the West Coast Conference title. The interesting part about it is they're both getting an at-large either way. If St. Mary's were to pull the upset, I think you would see, for the first time literally ever, a trio of West Coast Conference teams make the dance, because the Zags at 2 are going. BYU was top 15. They're going to go. And then St. Mary's would obviously go with the auto invite. But, man, I'll tell you, there were two good games. The Bulldogs answered every USF run. Although, the Donnies cut him a break. If you were watching at the 2-minute mark, by the way, the guy's name is Jumbo Lull. What a great name. He missed an inside shot. Joel II made a couple of foul shots. Khalil Shabazz hit a three. I mean, it was a three-point game with a minute and 10 to go. Then it was 79-77, but there were only 9 seconds left. USF had a foul, and Killian Tilly iced it with a couple of free throws. And like I said, for the 23rd straight year, Gonzaga is in the West Coast Conference Finals. I mean, that is ownership. Kansas, you know, we talked about last year, had the run of, 14 consecutive years winning the Big Ten regular season title, but they didn't, What did I say, the Big Ten?
You did.
Big 12.
Yeah, there's 10 teams, but it's the Big 12.
Which, why don't they just, I guess you'd have to change all the, advertising.
You'd have to have the Big 10 agree to let the Big 12 use the Big 10 name.
How's it not
which
the
is
Big
14? It's not the SEC 14. It's not the ACC 14. You can't have
Pac-12
two.
Pac 12 changed.
The Pac 12 changed.
Three times.
But
Pac 8, Pac 10, Pac 12.
But calling it Pac with a number works. Like, that sounds really good. I can't imagine just being like, well, in the Pac conference. It sounds a little strange.
Actually change it.
The number, 12's a better number looking than 10, I think, especially when you write it out instead of Roman numerals like the Big 12 uses.
All right, 284-8571 to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Bring in Jersey Jack. Hey, Jack.
Hey, man. For a second there, I thought you said that she had the cannoli virus, and I think that's the only something you can get in New York, isn't it?
Yeah, leave the gun, take the cannoli virus.
Man, you just aged yourself. It just goes to show you're one of those people who are definitely at risk for corona.
Wow. Hey, I don't deny. I'm not trying to act like I'm 30 something. I'm not dyeing my hair or having cosmetic surgery. It's me. I don't have a lot of control over Father Time, or Grandfather Time.
Did you hear that Corona beer sales are down 30%? Americans stupid or what?
Well, that ties into whoever it was that said nobody ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American public.
Oh, man, have a good day.
Take it easy. Did we get that? Was that when Mike Parker called us and we learned it was H.L. Mencken?
Yes.
All right. Mike Parker filling us in from the north. Well done. You're doing very well. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk about today, I haven't even gotten to, because the soft one, Dave Mahler on KJR 950 in Seattle, posted a poll yesterday that I thought was so funny. And yeah, he gave three options. One was to bring out people who are honest. The second was for liars. The third was the real reason, I think, for the poll. So we'll get to that in a bit. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So this now got added. I mentioned earlier that the Ivy League canceled their tournament. The MAC is holding it, but it's closed to the general public. Mike DeWine and Roses, the governor of Ohio, recommended sporting events at indoor facilities take place without spectators. And the MAC says the men and women tournaments in Cleveland will be closed to the general public. Credentialed institutional personnel, student-athlete family members, credentialed media, television and radio crews, official team party members will be permitted for attendance for the tournaments. Nick, you know what I'm thinking? When you attend a football game or a basketball game, there's always an announcement or a notice. This is a professional working area. There's no cheering. Will they lift that now and just like tell the members of the media, here's team gear. Go sit in the third row and just cheer for somebody.
We're going to have to be so quiet if this this becomes an NCAA ordinance of, men's and women's tournaments, extremely limited number of people are allowed into arenas at a various time. We're going to have to be so quiet during the women's games on Press Row, because people are going to be able to hear us. It's going to be weird, man.
But yeah, I will confess, we don't actually cheer, but we joke around a lot.
Oh, there's a lot of talking.
There's a lot of commentary that there's no way anybody could hear us because there's 12,000 people screaming, and it's just me and you sitting next to each other trying to up each other and wise-ass sarcastic commentary.
It gets to the point where it's hard to hear us, and we're sitting next to each other. It's really strange. And then it's going to be to the point where you're going to be able to have a conversation with Kelly Graves while he's sitting on the sideline because nobody is there.
Coach, can we do our interview now? Record it.
Coach, we're going to have to do 4:30 on Monday. Is that okay? No, that won't, we'll have to push to Tuesday. Got it. Thanks, Coach. Go back. Enjoy your game.
So you just retweeted something.
I did.
Pac-12 will limit locker room access for the tourney in men's basketball, but going forward in Vegas, and this is off of the Pac-12 website. And, you know, I would imagine since it's Tuesday and the tournament starts tomorrow, there's probably a lot of people who are, you know, pending airline flights as we talk now. So they're taking steps to make the venue and experience safe as possible. Enhanced cleaning protocols, access to hand sanitizers. Where the hell did they get them?
Wow. That's the pull of the century.
Like we just said, locker room access. They are leaving it up to individual universities to determine whether the band and basically the pep squads go. And I'll tell you what, the Pac-12 Hall of Honor induction ceremony was scheduled to take place Friday.
Whoa.
They're going to postpone that, it looks like.
I just read a tweet from at Oregon Baseball. They're starting Pac-12 play this weekend against UCLA, and they just tweeted out news from UCLA in regards to Oregon's 3-game baseball series. No fans will be allowed to attend because of coronavirus precautions.
Wow.
Only essential personnel will be allowed into Jackie Robinson Stadium.
Well, the next scheduled debate for the Democrats is in Arizona on Sunday. No live audience. So, I feel like coming in and out of every break, you just got to click refresh and there's a new update. But they're important updates, especially considering, you know, you've got a women's team that is, well, they'll be playing here, but then Portland, hopefully then New Orleans, that's what I would bet. But with the men, I mean, there's a matter of immediacy. I mean, they're playing literally in less than 48 hours in Vegas. That's a noon game against, what is it, the Utah-Oregon State winner. But anyway, yeah, this is something we're all going to have to keep up on. And whether it gets tedious or not, because we are a news center, when new information becomes available, we're sending it out there, and we're going to repeat ourselves, especially for many of you who are, you know, going to take the time to travel to Vegas. So, and if text us 321-0824, we'd be happy to pass along any pertinent information that you need to know. All right, break time. We'll do just that. We'll be back with more sports talk and a Coors Light update. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
If I had the choice, I probably would go Justin Herbert out of Oregon. And I know a lot of people say, well, he's not taking the ball underneath center. He hasn't done that. Well, neither did Kyler Murray, and he had a pretty good rookie season. So you start to look at those sort of things, you push it out the way. I look at both of those quarterbacks in Burrow and Tua and the receivers that they're throwing to in LSU and in Alabama, different than the ones he's throwing to at Oregon. That's just me.
My man, Keyshawn, how about that? Talking about he likes Justin Herbert over Burrow and Tua. Have you guys out there heard anybody else, any other commentators, especially in recent weeks, talk about that? To be perfectly honest, I just don't trust Tagovailoa because, ow, I'm hurt again. Ow, I got tackled, I'm hurt again. I also, when you listen to what Keyshawn was talking about, with elite weapons, especially at wide receiver. And I will not in any way be dismissive of what the hell Joe Burrow did this season. But, I mean, you look at, well, first of all, there's only one of the duck receivers that are coming out, and that is Juwan Johnson, who never really had what you can call a great season. I mean, there were injuries. He had a good year at Penn State, had a rep as, you know, maybe a little bit of the dropsies. And, you know, obviously, as far as the receivers, Johnny Johnson did some great things. Wow, you could tell it's been a while. Jalen Redd, I couldn't think of the receivers off the top of my head.
No, it's tough. You're very much not in football mode. Oh, all of the draft talk from the NFL has really died down. Everything's just been about the new CBA and
the virus.
Kind of has
people scared.
Right,
and with canceling events and March Madness.
Well, right. March Madness is the thing that's coming, so everybody's focused on it. NFL free agency is coming, and so everybody's focused on that. You had your massive combine week and the lead up and the hype and the mock drafts, and everybody had to get their takes out. You get people making multi-thousand-dollar bets on which quarterback gets drafted second. There's a lot going on like 3 weeks ago, and now it's just gone quiet. So I thought it was really interesting that you even went with a draft cut, because it seems like that there's.
Well, I heard him talking about Herbert. So I'm totally pandering to our audience. Yeah, let's be honest. But when you think about a college quarterback, if you throw 40 touchdown passes, that's a great season. Burrow threw 40 to two guys, Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. Now, Chase was just a sophomore. I don't think he's coming out. I'm not sure if he redshirted, but Justin Jefferson is a monster. I believe he announced that he was declaring. I mean, he had 111 catches for almost 16 hundy and 18 TDs. So, you do have to incorporate the offense they played in. And remember another thing that Burrow had going for him is Edwards-Helaire, his back out of the backfield, had a ridiculous number of catches, like 55, 58 or something like that. But you know, he had 402 completions. That's he also completed 76% of his passes.
It's kind of like why he won the Heisman. It's almost like he was really good that year.
Yeah, there should not have been a lot of wiggle room or negotiation there. I mean, just he had 27 less completions than Justin had attempts. Now, when you say that out loud,
it's ridiculous.
It really is kind of crazy. As far as guys catching a ball out of the backfield, you know, between Dye and Verdell, and Habibi Leikio, that's all of the running backs had 39 catches. It's just a different offense. All right.
All three of the projected guys all do very different things very well. Like, Burrow was a part of a very good offensive scheme that he executed to a very, very high level.
Right.
Like, that means that, you know, he understands
the highest
the high. Yeah, like, it's insane that he was that good. And then you've got Tua, who, before he was hurt, he's the guy who wins the big games. He's a little bit more mobile. He added a lot of flair to an Alabama offense that had always just been ground and pound and just, like, we're going to run the ball 3 yards in a cloud of dust and we'll beat you 6-3 if we have to or whatever. And then Justin, who, you know, was the manager of an offense that everybody wanted to be faster and more explosive, that sometimes wasn't, but had the potential to could be. And then all of a sudden late in the year, he becomes this running quarterback and he's got, you know, all of the off-field stuff that you really want in a guy to be the leader of your franchise. And it's just, it's a total coin flip between all three of them as to who do you really want. Because it seems like you can't make a wrong decision, but one of
them. But of course you could probably make,
right.
For all we know, you can make three wrong decisions.
Right. It could just like you end up in the wrong place like Cincinnati, or you end up in a Miami team that's rebuilding for the next two seasons and you get the ever-loving crap beat out of you because they don't have an offensive line and you're just left back there to struggle and you've got bad 2 years because you've got no offensive line and no weapons, and then everybody just thinks, the quarterback sucks, so he's bad and just we'll write him off forever.
I would have to, if somehow my opinion mattered about who would go first or second, I would, like I said, I've got two a third. And that Jordan Love, no, I'm sorry, he's not a first-round quarterback. I don't buy that for 1 millisecond. So it would come down to Burrow and Herbert. I think under, and Burrow is more of a crafty runner when necessary. I think in the right offense, Herbert could be a really effective runner because we saw him running at 6'6", 235, 240. When back in 2004, more than 15 years ago, when Ben Roethlisberger, who was the same size as Herbert coming out of college, he wasn't seen as a runner. He was seen more as a guy who could just kind of shake off would-be sackers and make a play and extend the play. But, there were probably offensive linemen who could burn a faster 40 than Roethlisberger. So I think that his athleticism may, in the end, and the way he performed at the combine, push him into second. I just think a lot of people are sold, and they see 60 touchdowns in the national championship and 76%, and the fact that while he's not a beast, 6'4", is not Baker Mayfield size or Kyler Murray or anything like that. So there you go. And by the way, the funny part about it is, you mentioned a couple weeks ago that's all they were talking about. It's not being talked about now. It's because it's still 6 weeks away. The draft is still like 6 weeks away this weekend.
I mean, it's crazy that like the Ducks pro day is in 2 days, and then Alabama's is like 2 weeks before the draft in April. Like they're just like, obviously Alabama wanting to make
sure. Isn't a Duck pro day in like 2 days?
That's literally what I just said, Steve.
Oh, I was reading a text that I wanted to get to.
This is what I started with. It's crazy. The Ducks Pro Day is in 2 days, and Alabama's is like 2 weeks before the combine.
Question, what time is the Ducks Pro Day?
It's right in the middle of our show.
Not only that.
It starts at 2:45.
Well, I was just going to say, because there are probably a lot of people who would have been thinking, I'd like to watch the basketball game, which was at noon, so they'll get away with that. So somebody heard TJ Houshmandzadeh said he would take Justin over Burrow, and that he thought Justin had a bigger arm. And it's interesting because Houshmandzadeh is obviously a Pac-12 guy, went to Oregon State, but he's a Bengal.
Ooh, wow.
So his opinion being offered is, coming from a place of loyalty to the conference, probably at least an equal, if not more of a loyalty to his NFL franchise that, paid him a few million dollars.
Same with Keyshawn being the USC guy. Makes a lot of sense. Company line is very important, and you always got to back the pack, talk about the best coach. It's very important things to consider when formulating a take is, where did I come from?
Well, Keyshawn is still based in L.A., but he's been an ESPN guy for a long time. Obviously, played in New York, and he played in Tampa. And his loyalty, I think, would be more to USC than the conference. Plus, this is the anniversary. This is the quarter century anniversary of his big season with USC when he led them to the Rose Bowl and they crushed Northwestern. He had one of those kind of Rose Bowls. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it's like 13 for 225 and 3 touchdowns, where there's nobody on Northwestern had an answer for him, and he just tore them a couple of new ones. He might have torn them a new one in the first half. They had it replaced, and then he tore the new one a new one.
That's a very bad visual. No thank you.
All right, 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, feel free. Hit us up via the text line. 321-0824. Hit us up on Twitter at 953thescore for the station. You can hit us up via me at SportsTalk 953, or for Nick, it's at Rick Nodgers. So, like, Steve Mims of the Register Guard just tweeted out, while the Pac-12 will still allow fans into Mandalay Bay, the locker rooms will be closed to the media, and by postponing the Hall of Honor events, remember, Dan Fouts was going to be the University of Oregon inductee. All right, what else did I want to get to? We're talking some Pac-12 hoops. We're talking some conference championship hoops. And TBD tonight, the 10th, will be the Summit League. You got the Northeast, the Horizon. You've got the Colonial and the West Coast Conference. So auto bid. Although, like I said, if Gonzaga wins, that's a team that was in already. The rest of them are actually one bid leagues, where, you know, that's where I always look to try and find a team. You know, did they have a great year? Are they playing to get into the play-in game? Are they playing for the right to be a 15 or a 16 seed? But that's one thing that bothers me so much, and I bring it up every year. When they have a team who earns their way into the tournament, just like if Oregon won the Pac-12 final or Duke won the ACC final, like Belmont won the Ohio Valley, they should not be in a play-in game. The play-in game should be exclusively for bubble teams that are still in the at-large picture. If you win an automatic berth, you should get to be a part of that experience. And I never thought that much of it until, I guess we're going back about 8 years ago, the first time I went to a first round game, I was like, this might be the best thing ever. Because not only do you have four games and eight teams, but they're all there. All the fans are there. The band, the pep squad, mom and dad, and they're just the mascots are all there. I mean, that is the taste of March Madness. And to have, whether it's Winthrop out of the Big South or Liberty out of the Atlantic Sun or Utah State out of the Mountain West, for them to all of a sudden, all right, we're in. We're part of this. We got to play Tuesday in Dayton. Screw you. That is just, that's not fair. I don't like it. I'll tell you. I don't like it one bit.
What I would consider is, I agree with that take, but I think you shouldn't play games on Tuesday, but you should have them all played on Wednesday. Maybe you add a second location, you get multiple games going on at the same time, you get a little bit of madness going on, a touch of overlap, you get a couple games that are coming down to the wire, and you're trying to watch two of them at the same time. Because that's all the part of the madness on Thursday, is right when you get to about 10:30, 11, and you've got the end of the morning slate of games are all going on, that's when the madness happens, because you're bouncing around from like three different channels, because three different games are coming down to the wire. I think if you had an all-day Wednesday affair,
if you went to one opening round game, you'd be like, it shouldn't even be a debate. It's just that ridiculous to deny those kids that opportunity. And even if they're a 16 seed, to play against Duke or Kansas, it's just like, I mean, that's
kind of the upset.
That's the kind of stuff you you tell your kids about. All right, before we take a break, I'll give you guys a chance to win a $10 prepaid gift card from our friends at Big Al State Farm on Cal Young next to the Dairy Mart. Call them, get a quote, check your coverage, make sure it's adequate. And Big Al and his team will review, take an in-depth look at all your insurance needs. He knows how to protect you and your family from the consequences that can occur when you're not properly covered. The number again, 686-1522. Online, BigAlEugene.com. Big Al State Farm, here to help life go right. So the way it works is I'll ask you the trivia question, and if you are the first one to text me the answer, 321-0824, and if you're first and haven't won in the last 30 days, we'll send you over to Big Al's, and he'll hook you up with a $10 prepaid gift card. So I was looking at the Pac-12 12 men's basketball tournament recently, and the success of this conference in the big dance, in the big tournament. And how about this? You tell me the last three Pac-12 teams to make the men's basketball tournament Final Four, the last three at 3210824. And like I said, if you're first and you have not won in the last 30 days, you get hooked up with a $10 prepaid Visa card. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more, the home stretch of Sports Talk in the 4 o'clock hour, 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Nuggets had 39 points in the first quarter. They've had 37 since. Murray got a good look there. Knocks it in. This game very much in doubt for Murray. Knocks it in. And that is going to do it, folks. The Nuggets are going to get the win. And with that, they sweep the Milwaukee Bucks this season.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, by the way. The Nuggets bounced the Giannis-less Bucks. Blow open a tight one in the fourth quarter. They win it 109-95. Paul Millsap literally was a 20-10 guy. 20 points, 10 rebounds. On the nosy. All right, before we move it along, a lot of correct answers there, but only one winner. Quick on the draw. Last three Pac-12 teams to make the rather sizable dance. Oregon in 2017, UCLA went three in a row, 06 to 08, and Arizona. I should have said before Oregon, who were the last three. That would have been a better question. That would have been a tougher question because you got the two blue bloods and you know, the best team in conference over the last 5-6 years. It would have been Stanford in 1998. But either way, congratulations to the victors. Go the spoils. And a $10 prepaid Visa card to boot. So appreciate you all playing. Appreciate the support of Big Al State Farm on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I guess it's not that early. So tonight at the top of the hour, you'll have the Zags playing in their 23rd consecutive West Coast Conference final. And they'll be taking on not BYU. They went down to St. Mary's. I guess it was us talking about the Gales so much yesterday in the, I guess it was the game of the night. BYU had a 2-point lead. Actually, it's a 1-point lead. Mibbed, my bad. They had the ball as well. Ueli Childs missed the jumper. The Gales get the ball. There's 30 seconds to go. And I was doing that thing you do when you want people to hurry it up. You know, you move your hand forward in a circular motion. And I didn't even realize I was doing it. So and it's like, because all of a sudden, it's like, all right, they're across the midcourt stripe. All right, there's like 8 seconds to go, and they call time. So Randy Bennett designs a play for his top gun, Jordan Ford, who Nick put in the spotlight yesterday during Light 'Em Up. And by the way, the designed play was one of those, get your best player the ball and tell everybody to run away. And, you know, I remember a few years after the Bulls, I think it might have been while Jordan was on his baseball hiatus, there was a special about the, you know, round one Bulls dynasty, and they were talking about the first Jordan moment in the playoffs where he posterized Craig Elo to beat the Cavs in the first round. I think it was in five games in the 1987 East semifinals. And so Doug Collins, who was the coach before Phillip, basically says, yeah, I was brilliant in the play I designed. And then he starts laughing because everybody knows that basically Jordan in the huddle says, give me the ball and get the F out of the way. Drove to his left, pull up top of the key, jumper, three fist pumps along with some other jumping, and still they didn't solve the Celtics that year. They didn't solve the Pistons the next two, and then they own the world.
Is that like one of the scarier moments you would feel as a coach, or like do you trust Michael Jordan so much they're like, okay, this is on him? Because if he misses that shot and maybe, you know, the game goes into overtime or you lose, or
no, they lose, they were down.
Oh, they would have lost. Okay, so if you go to the press room, you're like, so you drew up a play where Jordan took the or didn't take the shot, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, who's going to be the coach that doesn't allow Jordan
right.
to take that shot?
But he misses that shot and they lose, and all of a sudden it's like, well, yeah, Jordan called the play. He drew it up. He said what he wanted to do, and as a leader of the team, I allowed him to do that, and I guess it didn't pay off. So I'm going to start coaching a little bit harder now. What that would just turn into the ultimate power play at that point of just like, I've got all the power now over Michael Jordan.
Yeah, in a case like that. Oh, by the way, it wasn't 87, it was 88. They lost to the Bulls, to the Celtics in 87, but it was in the first round. And it was a two-pointer, not a three. And they, do I have the year wrong? Is it 89? Could I be that much of a chucklehead? I'm getting my years mixed up. This is like, this does not happen with me. Anyway, it was, okay, there it was. It was at Cleveland. It was, 100-99 and, he made it 101-100. But, so you're Doug Collins and Jordan is like, get me the effing ball and get out of the way. And you're like, no, I think I've got a play designed for Dave Corzine to win this game. By the way, in that game, Michael, 17 of 32, 9 of 13 from the free throw line, 44 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. By the way, you think that the game's a little bit different? He took 1 3-pointer. Yeah, the 80s, man. That was a different game ago. It's not even measured in years. It's measured in games ago.
I'm surprised that game got into the 100s, considering there was probably, 9 3-pointers the whole game taken?
Yeah, right now I would say the average team takes the average amount Harden will take in a game. All right, hang tight. The 5 o'clock hour is next. 95.3 The Score.
Our day was ruined.